So for the few people who actually came because they wanted to learn Sefer Vayikra, you know that no one really teaches Vayikra, or almost no one does. We start by kind of making believe that we're talking about Vayikra, and then like you move over laterally, you move this way, you move that way, but somehow it always, thankfully, gets avoided. So we're obviously going to do the same thing also, because if for no other reason, that's the minhag. So let's begin. The nefesh. So we're in Perek Bet, and it's talking about a korban mincha. We'll see in a moment why that's so important. The nefesh ki takriv korban mincha laHashem, so let ye korbano. So as much as is presented, again, by some, and I want to say especially this is significant in terms of Jewish Christian theology, is that Christian theology, again, starts on a foundation of Judaism, not just Judaism. I mean, it's sometimes I'd imagine that it's the Christianity is the illegitimate child that resulted from the affair that Judaism had with paganism, because there are so many pagan elements as well. But when it comes to offerings, so there especially, Jesus is seen as being some kind of an offering, and there is a lot more to say about that. But one of the things which is insisted is that there needs to be a sacrifice in terms of the flesh, sacrifice in terms of blood, and so on and so forth. So that's why it's particularly interesting and important that one chapter into Vayikra, we have a korban which has no flesh, no animal, no blood. Rather, it's a korban mincha. So I'm saying that has been used in terms of this back and forth and the debates and polemics which take place. But I'm saying, again, there is something significant here which needs to be noted. I'll also, along the same lines, point out that Avram Avinu built one mizbeach after the other, but never placed anything on a mizbeach until God told him to offer or to elevate Yitzchak. That was the first time we see that he actually put something on a mizbeach. All the other times he builds a mizbeach, but we don't hear him using it in terms of a korban, and that probably is quite significant as well. But when we continue, v'chi takriv korban mincha ma'afet tanur solet chalot matzot blot b'shemen. So as I told you from the beginning, you know, we make believe we're going to learn about Vayikra until we see the word matzah, and then we see the word matzah, so then we're going to, at that point, move over and say, oh, look at that, we got matzah. But it's not just matzah that we have here. A couple of verses later, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says, Kol mincha asher takriv al Hashem lo te'aseh chametz, ki kol sa'or v'chol dvash lo taktiru mimenu isha al Hashem. So it's not just chametz, there's also this problem with dvash. And it continues and says, Korban Reshit Takriv Otam Lashem. But when it comes to the Korban Reshit, which is not defined for us yet, it says, V'kol Korban Ben Chatcha B'melech Timlach. And then in Pasuk Yidal, V'im Tikrav Minchat Bikurim Lashem, Aviv Kaloi Ba'esh, Geres Karmel Takrivit Minchat Bikurecha. So this Minchat Bikurecha and the Korban Reshit is going to be something which is in common. But let's just pause and be honest for a moment. If I would have started and asked you a question, where do we find in Judaism this divide between chametz and matzah? So then the odds are that someone would have said, with a great deal of confidence, they would have said Pesach. And if I would have then followed up and said, is that the only place that we find it? Then they would have most likely, I don't want to, you know, attack you for no reason, but we didn't have to do all of this. There were predictable results. Then you would have said yes. And I said, are you sure that's the only place that we have it? And at that point, some people then lose their confidence and say, well, 98% sure. But we find right over here staring at us chametz and matzah, whereby chametz is something which is not good for a korban, but matzah is something good for a korban. And I'll just say as a general point that in terms of theology, we have this connection between chametz and the Yetzer Hara. And if that's the case, then there's an incredible question that could be asked. So then why is it ever allowed? Yes. It should always not be allowed. Which means if I say that chazir, that pork chops are spiritually bad for you, so then it should always be spiritually bad for you. It shouldn't be. Or maybe some of you would say quite the opposite. Maybe we should have 1 week a year that it's allowed. You know, we're doing the opposite of the Pesach. We can have our pork week. So like what? Why not? Or maybe 1 week a year, if you really want to be serious, then 1 week a year that you can't eat it, and the rest of the year that you could eat it. So I'm saying there seems to be something which is really strange. And I'll stress, especially when you claim this theological reason why chametz is something which is unacceptable, so then why is it ever acceptable? But I'll say this again now, aside from the eating of it and aside from the Pesach problem, in terms of a korban, if there's a problem with chametz, then there should always be a problem with chametz. If there's a problem, if matzah is something which is acceptable, that should always be the case. And on top of everything else, if you didn't, if you noted, well, look at Rashi, source 2, v'chol dvash, kol mitikat pri, kruya dvash. That's really quite important. Biblically, dvash is not what we would, honey from a bee. Biblically, dvash is something which comes from a fruit. So therefore, for example, date or silan, which I highly recommend using in your cooking, especially you want Middle Eastern tastes to your cooking, then it's preferable to almost any other sweetener. Korban, then it says, Manshel Levi min ha'sa'or min ha'dvash, korban reshit. Shtei ha'lechem shel atzeret haba'im min ha'sa'or. Shenemar, in Vayikra later on, Parshat Emar, chametz te'afena, u'bikarim min ha'dvash, kamo bikarei te'enim utmarim. So you bring the bikarim from those fruits, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, but those ones that actually there will be some kind of a honey type of sap which is coming from them. So therefore, the division here is not as clear as perhaps it could be. Later on in source number 3, which is Perek Vav, again, Zot Torat HaMincha. So it says over here again, Matzot Te'achel B'Makom Kodesh, and Pasuk Yud Lo Te'afeh Chametz. So again, this division between matzot and chametz, and I will point out, and you could try to check this up, that whenever it talks about matzah, with one possible exception, whenever it talks about matzah, it also talks about chametz. Whenever it talks about chametz, it also talks about matzah. It's as if that these are two sides of a particular coin, and they can't be separated. Now, I'm going to go in a particular path today. I just want to say, especially having just now cited Emor, right? Rashi cited Emor. I could do everything I'm doing right now and take a different path to get there, essentially using Parshat Emor to get there, and then it would be something which would be almost exclusively based upon agriculture, but I'm not going there. I'm going in a different way. I'm just telling you there were two paths to get to the same conclusion, which clearly each one strengthens the other. Now, what I played out with you a moment ago with our chametz and matzah, and where do we find them? So let's try this again. So when Pesach, so now I've just now limited it. Pesach, we eat matzah, and we don't eat chametz, so we'll leave chametz out of it. But why do we eat matzah on Pesach? That's actually the best answer possible. But is there a reason that we eat matzah on Pesach? Is there a reason which is given? Don't say no, speak with confidence. By the Seder itself, you're going to say matzah. You're going to say matzah zu al shuma. Why do we eat the matzah? So what's the answer? Why do we eat matzah? Because we left so quickly and didn't have time to, right? And when we all say that. So very good. I made you all feel, I've taken away your confidence. Good, good, good. That is the role of a teacher. A role of a teacher is to make people feel inadequate. Because only once they feel inadequate, then they can start learning and then feel adequate. Right? In the beginning, it's false. It's a false sense of adequacy. So, that is apparently the correct answer, because that's what we say, although we're going to spend the next couple of minutes realizing why that answer is not as easy as or simple as we may have thought that it was. So let's go to source number 4. Quite significantly, which I hope that you like the aesthetics of this shir, that this is the first Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right? By the way, Vayikra begins also by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, year number 2. And those of you who don't know for whatever reason, right now, today is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron ve'yitzon limar ha'chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodeshim rishon hu lachem l'chodshei hashana. So this is the first day, now we're starting. Rashi told us in the first pasuk in the Torah could have begun from here or should have begun from here. So this is the beginning. So then God tells us a couple of things. Starts. Dabrul kol adat Yisrael emor, basor l'chodesh hazeh. So now, today is Rosh Chodesh. So on the 10th day of the month, there's something that you need to do. By the way, there are those who argue that that 10th of the month, it worked out that that was Shabbat. And that Shabbat HaGadol is connected to that 10th of the month. But their commandment on that 10th was not necessarily to keep Shabbat, it was something else. It was, basor l'chodesh hazeh, what should you do? V'ichu lahem ish se lebeit avot se lebayit. That everyone is going to be taking their Paschal lamb. The age of this, by the way, dictated because of the way that these things grow. Don't ask me why I know this. I could tell you, I once tried to figure out how many zeitim, which of course the problem is who's zeitim, like according to which opinion, but we could follow Chaim Volozhin for this. Chaim Volozhin says the size of a zayit is a zayit, right? So how many zeitim fit into a lamb? Which means how many people could share from one Korban Pesach? So it had to be under a year old. It couldn't be more than a year old. But if you do a little research, you'll find out that they only give birth to them at certain times of the year. Right? Unlike our species, where someone can give birth in any time of the year, that they can only get pregnant and give birth at certain times of the year. So therefore, the odds were that the Korban Pesach would be extremely young. It would end up probably being between a month or two, and there was almost no other choice. It was either a month or two, or it would be over a year old. It was very small. And because it was very small, that made it much more limited in how many people can eat from it, and also would explain the idea, oh, make sure you don't break a bone. The bones were very, very soft and very, very tender. That means it had to be eaten, you know, deliberately, not gluttonously, not, you know, grabbing it and so on. This is not like, you know, grabbing that, you know, rib. No, this has to be done slowly, deliberately. And I'll say it again, they really were quite young, right? Sometimes knowing, I told you, I wasn't going to go to the agriculture, but this is connected to it. There's a whole argument regarding, can you use grape juice for the four cups? So one of the pieces of information, one of the pieces of evidence against it is that we're told in the Gemara that there was somebody, by the way, I say somebody because there were two different Gemaras. One is Rabbi Yehuda, one is Rabbi Yonah. So there was somebody. And then some claim, no, it's really Rabbi Yehuda. They got it wrong, Rabbi Yonah, whatever it is. There was somebody who says that he would drink wine and have a headache between Pesach and Shavuot. So he said, oh, there's proof he couldn't use grape juice because if he used grape juice, he would have used grape juice. So somebody told this, I mean, there are Achronim who use this argument. So somebody told this to Rabbi Soloveitchik, so he started to laugh. So he says, what's so funny? He goes, they didn't have grape juice at that time of year. Grapes come into season. They had no way of storing it. If you store grapes, it turned it into wine. You can only possibly have grape juice at a certain time of the year when there are grapes which are ripe on the on the tree. You couldn't have grape juice by Pesach time. It was absolutely impossible, at least in the Middle East. So again, a little bit of knowledge about what was actually happening can help us understand. And therefore, he said, of course you can have grape juice. Like, why you can't have grape juice? It counts as wine for all kinds of things. Anyway, continuing over here. So we're told that on the 10th of the month, we should be taking our se, vayolachem, pasuk vav, l'mishmeret ad arba seyom l'chodesh hazeh. So keep it till the 14th. V'shachatu oto kol kalad adat Yisrael ben arbayim. And then sometime in the afternoon on the 14th is when you do the shechita. V'dachu ben adam v'datnu al shnei mezuzot v'ala mashkof. And you should then take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And I will insist, even though you're going to tell me there's a whole nother reason to be putting it there, which I'm aware of, and it's how Passover gets its name. What happens functionally is that the doorposts become the Mizbeach. Because when you bring a korban, you take the blood, you put the blood by the Mizbeach. If over here you're taking the blood, you're putting it on the doorposts, that means that functionally each house now has just now become a Mizbeach, which is something which obviously, or not, I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to use this as a Sheva Brachos Dvar Torah, but it says something about a house. It will have implications in terms of mezuzah, obviously. It could have implications in terms of Hanukkah, obviously, and there are other things that you can do with this also. And I'm just pointing out that, you know, I'm going to explain to you what we're doing, because maybe it even seems it lost. We're going to analyze what's taking place over here from a Vayikra perspective. So normally when we read this or learn this, we read it from a Shmot perspective. Why? Because you're in Shmot. But we started with our Matzah and Chametz divide, and now we're saying, hold it, that's in the middle of Vayikra. So now let's take a Vayikra perspective and go back, and then all kinds of things emerge. So including, you need a Mizbeach. Where's the Mizbeach? Well, the Mizbeach is where the blood is put. The blood is put on the doorpost, then apparently the doorpost now, if you want to say it's a halach, it has a din of a Mizbeach, okay? I could say yeshivish also, right? It has a din of the Mizbeach. But I hope that that's clear. And by the way, when you read about the prohibition of eating blood and eating certain fats, the reason for them, from a Vayikra perspective, is because these things have to get burnt on the Mizbeach. They're kadosh, and we have no right to partake of that. So I'm just saying is that looking at things through Vayikra gives you something you don't normally see. And then we get to Pasuk Chet, and this is the important one for us today. V'achlu atabasar b'layla zeh, which means the korban is brought during the day, late in the afternoon, and you're going to eat the meat that night, tzli'esh, roasted, umatzot al mirurim yochluhu, and you're going to eat it together with matz and mar. So I hope at least some of you realize that at least there's a question over here, and that question is, why are they eating the korban Pesach with matzah? And you're going to say, I'm going to ask that question again, why are they eating matzah? And you're going to try again to tell me, because they left so quickly, they didn't have time for the bread to rise. Now, if you worked hard, maybe you can convince me that that's the case. Actually, the Ramban goes in that direction, says, no, this is the Al Shema Atid. This is what you do. But you all realize that that's somewhat awkward to say this. And I think that there's another answer. That's really what I'm getting to. There is another answer over here. We are eating matzah the night before. If you're not sure of the sequence, we'll keep on going then. The pasuk continues, v'hanotar mimenu ad boker be'esh tisrofu. And anything that remains to the morning should be burnt. We should get rid of. And I'll raise the question, is that talking about just the korban, or is that talking about the matzah also? Because that could also be interesting. Now, one of the things I want you to note is the time frame. Most of us are aware that there's an argument between Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva until when you can have the afikomen, right? And the second thing, the afikomen does not mean a piece of matzah. The afikomen actually, we'll state this a little differently. There's a machloket between Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva until which point you can eat the Korban Pesach. At which point do you have to burn it? Now the pasuk actually says you burn it till the morning over here, but until which point? I'm going to start all over again now, because I want this to be clearer. There's a language which is the language of the Torah, and then there's a language which is the language of Chazal, and then there's a language which is our language. And sometimes we use words, and we use them in a way which is imprecise, and our imprecision sometimes is because that's the way Chazal spoke. I'm not saying Chazal is imprecise, I'm just saying that Chazal's language is not always the same as the Torah language. So for example, if I were to ask you, the holiday of Pesach, when does it begin and when does it end? So you would say, well, Pesach begins whenever, and you'll tell me it ends whatever it is 7 days later. If you're unfortunate to live outside of Israel, then you get an extra day. There actually is Yerushalmi that says that there's the extra day is because the holidays are diluted. There's less Kedusha there, and therefore you need extra time to get to the same amount of Kedusha. So, and the Baal HaTanya actually brings this down in a couple of different places. And it may be one of the reasons why he actually paskens that if somebody visits from outside, they only keep one day, because they had all the Kedusha in one day. You don't need that extra Kedusha. He brings the theology in to explain the halacha, which is really quite interesting. So Pesach in the Torah, I'm not talking about anything else other than Torah right now. Pesach in the Torah is a holiday which begins on Yud Dalet in the afternoon, from the moment you can bring the Korban Pesach, that actually generates a prohibition that we don't find right here, and that prohibition is one of Chametz. From the moment you can bring the Korban Pesach is the moment that you can't have Chametz, and I'm going to say it again, that is not here in Pesach Mitzrayim. The holiday of Pesach ends when you can no longer eat the Korban Pesach. There's a second holiday, and the Torah, again, is very consistent. The second holiday is called the Chag HaMatzot. The Chag HaMatzot is a 7-day holiday. Chag HaMatzot starts like all other Jewish holidays, and that is it starts when, I'll say, we start it a little bit before sundown, but it really starts whenever you want to say that nightfall is. You want to say nightfall shkia, or machmer, you know, some are machmer 18 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and so on. But it starts with nightfall, and it ends with nightfall. So therefore, you'll all tell me that the Jewish sensibility is that the day starts in the evening and the day ends in the evening. Now, that's true for all of Judaism, except for one really important exception. And that exception is the Beit HaMikdash, or the Mishkan. The Mishkan is different. The Mishkan, the beginning of the day, is the morning. The Mishkan, you get up in the... You learn all the Mishnayot. It doesn't make a difference which Masechta. In the Beit HaMikdash, dealing with Yom Kippur, there's nothing about the night before, other than preparation. It begins in the morning. Korbanot are all about the day, and then you can eat it the night afterwards. So over here as well, the Korban is brought during the day, Bein Arbaim, it's brought in the afternoon. And now, till when you can eat it, so then I'm going to say it again. Most likely the lacha is like Rabbi Akiva, which is actually the underlining significance of the Talmidim coming in the morning and saying, okay, now it's time to go. I mean, Pesach is over now, it's still Chag HaMatzah. There is an overlap between the two. So during that overlap is actually when we have the Seder. So that's interesting because it's both of them, but I'll say it again. In Egypt, as we're reading these verses, there is, remember I told you that whenever there's matzah, there's always going to be this problem with chametz. This is the one exception. The one exception is, in Egypt, that night, there is no mention of chametz over here. All that it says is that you eat the Korban Pesach that night, and you eat it together with matzah. And then in the morning, it has to be burnt. Why? Well, that's what one does with leftover korbanot, which can't be used. It continues then, and it says, Pasuk Yud, one second, before that, Pasuk Yud, and this is how you eat it. Right? It says that you eat it with your coats on, with your shoes on, with your walking stick in hand. So this idea of speed is here, but just in a slightly different application. Why? Pesach Hu Lashem. This is Pesach. On the other hand, Pasuk Yedalo then starts about a future perspective. You're going to do this forever. What is this? This is the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach is going to be continually done. Shivat Yamim Matzot Tochelu. Now this is a new law about the future. You're going to have a seven-day holiday where you're going to eat Matzot. And guess what we're going to call that holiday? Chag HaMatzot. Ach, but Yom HaRishon, what's the Yom HaRishon? The Yom HaRishon was Pesach. Ach, but Yom HaRishon, tashbitu sor mivatechem. Get rid of all the chametz on that first day. That first day is Pesach, leading into the 7 days. Ki kol ochel chametz v'nichrata ha-nefesh imi Yisrael miyom HaRishon ad Yom HaShvi. That one, so as I said, you could decide if it really had chametz and matzah here. If you want, you could say yes. I'm just saying is that there are distinct sections over here, and it only talks about the chametz when it talks about this future seven-day holiday. Presumably, they did not have a seven-day holiday that first year. Continue. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Ushmartem et ha-matzot, ki be'etzem ha-yom hazeh hotzeti tzivoteichem e'eretz entzrayim. Ushmartem et ha-yom hazeh l'doroteichem chukat olam. When did they actually leave? They left in the morning. The morning of which day? The morning of Tetvav. So it says that this is that holiday. Be'erev tochlu matzot, which may be really important. Skipping a little bit down, v'hayaki tivola aretz asher yitain Hashem lachem kasher diber u'shmartem et avodah azal. The word avodah has to do with the korban. You're going to keep on doing this, but then it continues, and we finally get to the point that you wanted me to start with, and that's pasuk lamitet. They travel out, v'yafu et abatzeka shehutziu mimitzrayim ugot matzot ki lo chamet ki gershu mimitzrayim v'lo yachlu lit mameya v'gam tzeda lo asulam. And then they baked the batzeik, which they took out of Egypt, they made it into matzot, and not chametz, because they were chased out, and they couldn't tarry, and they did not have any other provisions. Now, I'm going to ask that question again. This is a description of the morning. So what happened the night before? Well, the night before, they had 2 weeks to prepare matzot. They were told in Rosh Chodesh to prepare matzot. Some of your ancestors were baking matzot and selling them to the other Jews and making a little money over here on the side. So the matzah industry already was created on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So to say to read backwards and say, oh no, Pasuk Lamed Tet, it says, oh, they left so quickly, enough time for the bread to rise. But what about last night. I mean, last night and the 2 weeks beforehand. So at least I hope that you realize that there's some tension. To support those who think this is why we eat matzah, so we look in the Haggadah. The Haggadah supports it. Matzah zu, source 5. Matzah zo sha'anu ochlim al shuma. Why do you eat matzah? Al shum shalu spik b'tzeikam shalav otein alach mitzat sh'negla aleim alachim alachim akadosh baruch hu. That's also very interesting. They couldn't eat it until there was a gilui shechina. The gilui shechina, I would say, was at midnight, was when by makat b'chorot. And if that's the case, is it really saying that we never ate matzah the night before? Is that really what it just now said? I'm not trying to push that. I'm just saying, is that this thing is strange, unless you'll say the gilui shechina is when they actually left. So I'm just saying is that this requires some interpretation. Shenemar, but then it brings the proof. What's the proof? So that's talking about the morning. Now, just in case you think all of this is simple, one day, maybe, certainly b'li neder, maybe I'll write a Haggadah. But if I did, one of the things that I would do is that I would make it color-coded, so that it would be very clear to know what the building blocks of it were when you're quoting verses, when verses are in the, I would probably even want different shades for different books in the Chumash. But I would want the stuff coming from Mishnah in another color. I want things from Breitod, which means essentially all Torah material should be in one, you know, kind of color, and all rabbinic should be in another. And there's some unknown material where we don't know where it came from, so that also should be yet in a different color, so you can see, as you're reading it, you know, what it is that you're looking at. Also, let's just say that if the Midrash is quoting a pasuk, you want to know that that's what's going on, because just being able to visualize a lot of this, I think, would already give you the first level of interpretation of what is taking place. In this instance, what we just now read from the Haggadah is based upon the Mishnah. The mission is Rabbi Gamliel Haya Omer, Koshlo Amr Shlosh Dvarim Elu BePesach Lo Yotzei Chovato. Whoever doesn't say these three things did not fulfill their obligation. There is a little bit of a question, which obligation did they not fulfill? So the simple way of reading it, they didn't fulfill the obligation of Sipur Tzvi Mitzrayim. Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of a comment of the Ramban in the Mulchamot, or the Mulchamos, the way he would have said it, in Brachos, which said that the obligation he didn't fulfill was the obligation of eating, which means that eating the Korban Pesach wasn't enough. That to eat the Korban Pesach, you need to know why you're eating it. To eat the matzah, you need to know why you're eating it. Which means it's not just that there's this independent mitzvah of Sipur Yetzirah Mitzrayim. Rabbi Gamliel says, Kol Shelo Amar Shelo Tumei Lo Yotzei Ydei Chovato, he wanted to say that the Chovah is also this obligation of the actual mitzvah which is being performed. Nonetheless, what does he say? Ve'elohein pesach matzumar. Pesach al shum shepasach hamakom abate avoteinu b'mitzrayim. That God passed over, and that's easy. Matzah, and this is the part I want you to focus on, al shum shenegalu avoteinu b'mitzrayim. That we were redeemed in Egypt. Notice what's missing? It doesn't say anything else. It says, why do we eat matzah? Because we were redeemed. Okay, that's all. Now, which matzah is this? Is this the matzah of the night before, or is this the matzah of the morning? And what are you going to tell me? It's okay. You can say it. Say it. I don't know. That's fine. It's okay to say you don't know, because it didn't tell you anything else. So therefore, you all realize that this gets colored by citing that verse in the morning. Oh, now I know which matzah it is. Oh, that's the matzah from the morning. And now what gets completely obscured? Whatever matzah was at night. So much so that nice, good, educated Jews, who will be part of a lawsuit against all Jewish educational institutions, right? You could be the evidence when we have our class action suit, had absolutely no idea about the matzah from the night before, which may very well be the matzah that we're talking about. Look at source number 7 for a second, because it's actually really interesting. It's the Gemara on this. Al shum shenegalu avoteinu b'mitzrayim, and then somebody put in brackets, which means this was not originally part of the Gemara. Somebody put in brackets, Shenemar, Vifuta Batseka Shotzim Mitzrayim. Now, obviously, there are going to be those who are going to discuss why this is put in brackets. One possibility is that you look in the Haggadah, it's there. You look over here, it's not here. Oh, that must be a mistake, and I don't know why they forgot this verse and put it back in. But this is not just an innocent point, because putting that verse in or not putting that verse in makes a very big difference. And I'll let you know now that in the Yerushalmi, both the Mishnah and the Gemara, there is no reference to this verse. It just says matzah is because we were redeemed. So which What redemption is it? Is it redemption while eating the Korban Pesach the night before, or is it having to do with the morning? Now, I want to be clear. I think that there's a resolution. The resolution is going to revolve around the point which I already made, that there are two separate holidays which are obviously interconnected, and that's Chag HaPesach, and that is Chag HaMatzot. Those, and again, in language of Chazal, they call Chag HaMatzot Pesach. When we all say we're going to be for Pesach, we're not talking about the Korban, that's our language. All that's fine. But nonetheless, let's note that in the Torah there are two separate ones. The Rambam is fascinating, because the Rambam in source number 8, which is Perek Zayin of Hilchot Chametzah Matzah, he says, he describes what we need to do. We need to talk about Kol Mishalom HaShloshim Dveilu B'leil Chamisha Asar Lo Yatzei Dei Chovato Ve'elohim Pesach Matzah Maror. He gets to Matzah, which, by the way, comes here after Maror. Matzah Al Shem Shenigalu. It doesn't say anything else, which, by the way, is exactly the Mishnah. The Rambam cites the Mishnah here. The Rambam is well aware of the issue, because you look in now source number 9, which is the next chapter, where the Rambam describes doing the Haggadah, and in the instructions he says, when he gets to Umagbi HaMatzah B'yadov Omer Matzah Zushana Ochlem Hashem Shaloi Speak Bat Sekam Shalvotenu Lachmitz Ad Shenigla Eleyem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ugolam Biyad Shenema Veifuot HaBatzeka Sherotzi Mitzrayim. So he rules like the Mishnah in one chapter, and then he rules in the next chapter like the Haggadah, and then in his version of the Haggadah, which is source number 10, he also follows that, quoting the verse saying about the morning. But I hope that you realize it's interesting that he didn't do that in the previous one, and maybe you should limit how much you argue from absence, but nonetheless, I think it's interesting. Yeah. So there's an argument in the Gemara about when redemption is. So it says everybody agrees that they were redeemed in the sense that they became politically, economically free, and that's by midnight when power runs around and says everybody is free. And on the other hand, we didn't leave until the morning. Now the question is, what do we celebrate? Do we celebrate? I mean, and by the way, that exactly would go to the point about, is it midnight or is it the morning? What's the issue? So yes, the answer is yes. Yes. Yes, now you understand the background for the debate. Okay. One of the commentaries, which for most, again, we'll talk about the Yeshiva Bachrim, for most Yeshiva Bachrim, it's a commentary which is only familiar from Pesach, from Masechet Pesachim, is the Maram Chalava, which is in source number 11. Who knows if I'm pronouncing it right? Who knows how he pronounced it? He comes from the tradition of the Ramban, the Rajba. He was a student of the Rajba. The Rajba was a student of the Ramban. And he wrote an all of Shas. Most of it disappeared over the time. And the one for Pesachim is around, and again, well used. Matzah al shem shenagalu shenema v'efuot habatzeg pirish. D'i lo mishum denagalu v'gorshu v'lo yichulun amei lachmitz isatam muterim ayu b'chametz machrat ha-Pesach shelo nitztavu b'Pesach Mitzrayim ela al oto layla levad ulamachrat ayu muterim ba'asiyat malacha v'lo nemrar shar ha-parsha ela Pesach dorot v'kevin shekenki kisha ochlu matzah b'derech Essentially, what he's pointing at is the two different holidays and saying that in Egypt, ostensibly, there only should have been one holiday, and that should have ended by the time the morning came. And by that point, we should have been allowed to eat chametz the next morning, which is the custom of many, many, many Jews. They eat chametz after the Seder, right? Unfortunately, like what I meant by saying many Jews, I'm saying there are Jews who are not necessarily, they're traditional, they go to a Seder the night before, in the morning then they get up and they they're following Pesach Mitzrayim, at least what it could have been. But he says, but now once we ate matzah in the morning as well, and that then generates the 7-day holiday, so now, again, matzah and chametz become two opposite things, so now there is a prohibition as well for 7 days, because now there's a mitzvah to eat matzah 7 days. And I'll say it again, whether there really was a prohibition the night before, because he leads you that to think that maybe there was, I don't think that there necessarily was. The Gemara, what he's trying to point out is it's not what had to have been based upon the original, meaning Pesach Mitzrayim was such that the holiday should have ended by the morning. That should have, which again, Pesach ends by the morning. What he's beneath the surface over here is that distinction between Pesach and Chag HaMatzot. And had there not been matzah eaten that time, then there wouldn't have been a prohibition of chametz, and therefore we would not have the 7-day holiday. Now you say, but is that part of God's plan? Of course, it's part of God's plan. But he's getting to that distinction between Pesach and Chag HaMatzot. The Gemara in source number 12 also deals with this issue a bit when it raises a question which has great implications for halacha, and that is, is matzah today, is it a Torah law or is it a rabbinic law? Now, the consensus is that it's a Torah law. There is, on the other hand, another voice. On the other hand, maror bizman hazeh is considered to be derabbanan. Now, why is maror derabbanan and matzah deraita? Again, why is maror rabbinic law and why is matzah a Torah law? So let's look again just a little bit at this Gemara in source 12. This is Psachim Kuf Kaf. Amar Rava matzah bizman hazeh deraita maror derabbanan, which is really our conclusion. Va'amai, sorry, umayishna maror dichtiv amatzah maror. Bizman de ika pesach yeshmar, ubizman de leika pesach leikamar. It goes, hold on, what's the distinction here? It says that you eat the korban pesach with matzot umar, umatzot umarim yochlu. So if that's the case, mar is only when there's a korban pesach. So why would you say that matzah is a Torah law? Matzah also should go around the orbit which is centered by the korban pesach. Matzah namiha ktiva matzot umarim, which means, and by the way, what's the big difference between the two regarding how much you have to eat? Because we have a principle in halacha, safik deraita lechomer, and safik derabanan lekula. So we go, and again, nobody knows exactly what a kazayit is. Anybody argues what a kazayit is. But when it comes to any mitzvah by the Seder, which is a derabanan, then you could take the smaller shear. Why the smaller shear? Because safik derabanan lekula. When it comes to something which is a Torah law, then you take the larger shear, because then it's safik deraita lechomer. So this issue actually does have implications. At the end of the day, we find Rav Acha bar Yaakov Amar Echod Zeh VeEchod Zeh Derabanan. Unlike Rava, who said, no, matzah is deraita, he says, no, they're both Derabanan. They're both Derabanan. Why? Because he understands the matzah that we eat centering around the Korban Pesach. But by the way, this is another way getting back to that same point. That no, it's not that the matzah, because we left in the morning, we left. No, the matzah that we eat centers around the Korban Pesach. So I'm just again pointing out that this tension actually manifests itself in an interesting way. And again, the conclusion here is, look at the very end of the Gemara, it says, there is this separate verse that says, eat matzah at night, which is independent of the obligation of eating it with the Korban Pesach, so therefore matzah bizman hazeh is a Torah law. Okay, now, take a deep breath. And I told you, what I want you to do today is I want you to explain all of these things through the perspective of Sefer Vayikra. So I'm going to show you what it is. Now, a number of people identified what I'm about to identify. I'm not the first. I'm certainly not the first. I'm not the second. For some reason, I have an article over here, which I'm not going to quote too much, but it's from Rav Gorin, where he gives the impression that he discovered something. He goes, yesh li chidush, nachon, yesh chidush, but it's not chadash. It's others already have said it. But in order to understand all of this, I'm going to point out, where should we start? We're going to look at source number 16, and then hopefully we'll explain everything. We're back in Vayikra, so I hope that you now appreciate, again, how this is a Vayikra perspective in all of this. Vizot Torah Zevach HaShlamim. And now, we started with a mincha, now we've gone over to a shlamim. What is a shlamim? It's a peace offering. It's not because I've sinned, it's a peace offering. But this now, we're about to talk about a particular type of peace offering. Vizot Torah Zevach HaShlamim, Asher Ekriv LaShem, Im Al Todah, Now, if it's a korban toda, what's a korban toda? It's a korban when you say thank you. You know, in today's world, maybe there are certain times you bench gomo. So bench gomo essentially takes the place of the korban toda. The korban toda is the other thing which takes the place of it. If somebody says, I want to give a kiddush. Why do you want to give a kiddush? You give a kiddush because there's some kind of a toda which is over there. Maybe we'll see some who actually say this. So what is the Korban Todah? Al Zevach HaTodah, Chalot Matzot, Blulot Bashemen, Urikei Matzot Mishu Chim Bashemen, Vesolot Murbechet Chalot Blulot Bashemen, Al Chalot Lechem Chameitz Yakriv Korbano. So there's actually a great deal of what I'll call right now generically bread. There's, as far as I recall, 40 different loaves. 30 of them are matzot of different types of oil and made in different ways. And then there are some which are chametz, which means the korban toda had with it, with the korban shlamim that was brought, it had a great deal of bread. By the way, most importantly, it had both chametz and matzah, which we'll note as we move on. It continues and it says, You bring the korban to Hashem, the kohen is zorek tadam shlom lo yeh, ubasar zevach todat shlomav, biyom korbano yechel, lo yaniach meno ad boker, you don't leave it over to the morning. So let me just state this so this will be very clear and very understandable. I don't want to overstate it. The korban Pesach is, in the broadest strokes, in the korban Todah family. How distant of a relative it is, I can't tell you. But what I will say again is that the similarities to the korban Todah are immense. What you've already seen is certain things, and one of them, it has to be eaten together with bread. Now I want to say this all over again. Could be the reason that we eat matzah independently is because we left in the morning, we left so quickly. Why do they eat matzah the night before? Well, it's very simple why they eat matzah the night before. Because it was a korban Todah. That's what a korban Todah is. A korban Todah is together this mixture, as it were, between the korban, and you also have the quote-unquote bread, or more specifically, you have the matzah. You have different types of matzah, because that's what the korban Todah is. Why is the korban Todah brought? It's brought because there are thanks that you want to give. If you look at source 15, this is where Rav Gorin makes his point. He goes, "V'nir el chadesh shechovat achilat matzah im korban haPesach hein bePesach Mitzrayim shelona hagbo iser chametz vehein bePesach sheni l'dorot shenitztvu amotzer morotchim yochlu eino chavak shura the iser klali shel chametz bePesach." This has nothing to do with chametz generally. "V'lo l'kol atamim shel achilat matzah bePesach." Beli korban l'dorot elohu din miyuchad b'achilat korban Pesach kamo shana motzim l'inyan todah. So again, the only problem I have with this is v'nir l'chadesh. Why did I say I have a problem with v'nir l'chadesh? Well, we'll see who else had pointed this out along the way. And by the way, I think that, I'm not going to say I think he's absolutely right. I think that this is a wonderful way of looking at things and may very well be correct. If you look at, there are those who are going to question if the matzah is because we left in the morning, then the mitzvah of eating matzah should be in the morning. It shouldn't have been the night before at all. I mean, what is one thing after the other? Let's look at the Abarbanel in source 17. Imal Todaya Kruvenu. No, he's talking about that pasuk about the Korban Todah. Al Zevach Chalot Matzot. V'tama Lechem Hazeh L'Shlamei Todah Kidei Lahagdil HaSimcha U'Lahashlima L'Koalim U'Lubalim Kiderek Shosim B'nei Adam B'Shat Simchatam Shem Smeichu Misamchim Et Re'ehim. That's the Kiddush. He says, when you something good happens to you, you want to share the good news, you want other people to feel a part of it. And so he's essentially saying is that that's what the Korban Todah is. Well, the fish of Bizmana Geulah Atida, and then he starts talking about, again, generally about redemption. Now, the Abarbanel, at the very end of all the sources here, I believe I brought another Abarbanel, yes, and Parshat Bo, where he goes into all of this with much more detail. So I am going to spare you from reading this, but I'm just going to tell you that in source 29, you have another Abarbanel, which is going to explain this a lot more. But for us, instead, we're going to look at source 18, which is again on this pasuk in Parshat Tzav, and this is the Nitziv. Alchalot lechem to lechem chametz yakriv. U'mashmura mikra detachlit korban hu chalot lechem chametz. But by the way, before I say this, let's continue. Chalot lechem chametz. Umishum zem forash odem mikra zevet todash lamav. Mishum hachi lechem chametz uikar mishum shu zevach todash lamav. Vanyan de tachlit todah shaba al nes hu kedei l'saper chazdei Hashem shegamal alav. That the real idea behind the korban todah is to tell a narrative. And what narrative are you telling? You're telling the narrative of how God saved you and how. Now I'm going to say it again. So now how. When I said before that the Korban Pesach is a type of a Todah, and you realize that's part of what the Todah, now, what is the proof that this is the case? So we'll see in a moment, we'll see it inside, but the proof is the amount of food and the amount of time, which means you have a very short amount of time to eat a great deal of food, so therefore you have to bring lots of people over there so you can tell them over the story. So essentially he's saying, bake 40 cakes, right? Bake 40 cakes and make a Kiddush now. So what are you going to do? So you have to invite, you know, I don't know how many cakes per person. Maybe people know more than me about this. But essentially that's what he's saying. You have a small amount of time and a great deal of food, and in the morning you're going to have to burn it all. So therefore you want, and by the way, the burning over here includes the bread. That's why I raised the question initially. So he says, again, you want to tell over the story, 18. And he actually quotes a really interesting verse, which I hope that we said this morning in Hallel. V'hainu zechiv v'hallel, l'cha ezbach zevach todah, u'v'shem Hashem akra. I'm going to bring a Todah, and I'm going to call out in the name of God. Nidrei LaHashem HaShalem, Nidna L'chol Amo. I'm going to, in front of all the people, B'chatzot Beit HaShem B'tochei Yerushalayim. That is the Korban Todah, that I'm going to call out, bless God, and tell people about the wonderful things that are happening. The skipping couple of lines there, V'Shem HaShem Akra, who called Todah LaHashem Tzavot Al Hanes, V'Al Hodot B'Shem, B'Shem HaShem, Omar Nigdal L'Cholamo, Deberov Am, Sheyachlu Imo, Et HaTodah, Yisaper Oz HaHashkacha Alav Tova. You're going to tell over how God was involved and micromanaged in your life. U'mitamzer riba katuv b'lechem, u'mi'et bizman achilat todah mikol ha'shlamim. And therefore, there is a great amount of food and a very small amount of time, so that you'll invite as many people and tell them all the story. Haynu k'dei sheye merabe re'im l'suda achad b'yom ha'korva v'haya sipur hanes l'fi rov anashim v'arba chalot l'kohanim, and so on and so forth. V'im kein ha'ikar achilahu lechem chametz, and we're going to pause now. The Chtam Sofer, who takes the Yabar B'nail, applies it in a fascinating way. He says that's the idea behind the Manishtana. See, we read the Manishtana through the prism of the perspective of somebody who maybe is a young kid. By the way, whoever asks the Manishtana understands a great deal. He knows everything that's going to happen that night. This is what we're doing, and so on. Basically, which is a word I hate, the Chtam Sofer suggests that when we say Shebechol Halelot Anu Ochlim Chametzu Matzah, which night, when do we eat chametz u'matzah? And what's the answer? Whenever we come up to the Beit HaMikdash, and we celebrate, we always eat chametz and matzah. What happened to the chametz over here? Why are we doing a korban todah today? And there's what happened to the bread? Now, by the way, that's a great question, and it's a great question from the kid. Where's the bread? And it's also, because, again, if this is like a Korban Todah, and I said it's pretty close to it, except one thing is missing. What's missing? Again, you can argue me at little things. But what's missing? The chametz is missing. What happened to the chametz over here? But on the other hand, the question, you know, is always should have been somewhat jarring. What do you mean we always eat chametz and matzah? Let's be honest. Most of us eat matzah from one year to the other. I mean, I'd say most. There are always the crazies who say they like matzah. But there are many of us who don't otherwise. But this is what the Chtam Sofer is saying. V'zen nearly pirish agadah manishtan alai lezeh kulo matzah. Al pi pirish or rabbanel shabakol yel tainu kishanu ochlim korban todah liyom v'layla ochlim chametzu matzah. Shekein matzah todah v'layla sha'anu makrivim pesach shu todah. So now you see, now you have to ask, hold it a second. When Rav Gorin said that yesh li chidush, the Chtam Sofer says it, he reads it in the Barbanel, the Netziv took you to the same direction, and by the way, I can go on and on and on. It's not, it could be none of you heard it before, right? But and even that's possible that you did. So I want to come back, and in our minute that we have left, I will make at least save direction. From the very beginning, we noted something, and that was that Lechem did find itself in another place. So what was that place that Lechem was found? That was by the Bikurim. That was Chag HaShavuot. So now you have another reason to, and that's why I said all of this I could have done agriculturally, from the Omer, through the counting of the Omer, which is agricultural, going on to the Bikurim, and going on to the holiday of what we call Shavuot, all from the agricultural side. What we now should realize is that the idea of the Korban Todah is we have part of it by Pesach, and we have the other part of it, which links together between the two. Shavuot, when we receive the Torah, then specifically, this idea of the Yetzer Hara, we have the antidote. Which, why does this have to be in a two-stage process? As I said, that needs a little bit more time in order to explain, but I hope that you realize that, you know, this is a Korban Todah, but it's a Korban Todah that spreads out with two marks to it. This is the beginning of the process, is the leaving of Egypt, and now we have part of the Todah. The other part's going to take place when we get to, now decide there's two destinations, Eretz Yisrael or to Har Sinai, but either way, that's the continuation of the story. And in fact, there's this great argument from the Kli Yakar, which I have over here, and the Kli Yakar suggests that it's the fact that we have a Yetzer Hara, if you remember the Gemara in Shabbat, is the clinching argument that Moshe uses against the angels of why we need the Torah. which means when it comes to Chag Shavuot, we need the Yetzer Hara. Pesach, we're in such an evil place, we need to get away from all evil. When it gets to Chag Shavuot, to receive the Torah, we need a Yetzer Hara, but we need a response to the Yetzer Hara, which means our Yetzer Hara is actually, it's what it is again, pointing out that there is this much longer process which is taking place. Har Sinai is the continuation. The Ramban tells us that they're linked together. The counting links them together. When we get to Har Sinai, it's at that point where we get to Chag HaShavuot, we receive the Torah, that's going to be with Lechem, because now we have the ability to counter it, and now we can face the real world. Which means that's why matzah is allowed. You know, that's why matzah is, you know, for 1 week, but that's also why the other rest of the weeks of the year we have chametz, because now we have the ability to deal with chametz, and that's the Torah. When we only focus on leaving, then we don't have it.